turn our attention, our focus unto the Lord, and yes. Appreciate those that were gathered early to pray. And let's enter into an atmosphere of worship and praise, and let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and thank God for the opportunity to be here this morning. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Yes.
So awesome, God. Have another opportunity to be here with people of like precious faith, God, to lift you up in song and music, God, entertain thoughts, God, of you, God, and your word as it applies to our heart, God. We thank you for this opportunity. Let us make the most of every moment we have, God. Let us be enriched and encouraged as we interact with your spirit and your word, God, to touch our hearts and change our lives, God, to make us better people, God, to be lights in darkness, shining forth your love into a world desperately in need of you, God.
Praise the Lord.
How we need
praise
you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to give the Lord some praise? Let's worship with this song if you remember it.
Oh,
voice to just sing that over and over and over. I can't carry it any longer than that. Praise the Lord. Oh, he has done great things. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the cross?
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The announcements will scroll between the two sessions this morning, but do want to make sure you're aware tonight. We will be doing our split sessions at 6 p.m. Women with the women in the sanctuary, men upstairs, children downstairs, and look forward to getting together. And then next week is Father's Day, in case you are not aware of that, June 17th, Father's Day. We will be taking time out during our 11 p.m. service. We will do the two-service format on Sunday morning and celebrate our fathers on Sunday morning, and then there will be no p.m. activity here at the church. What we did for the mothers, we'll do for the fathers, and give you an opportunity to spend time together with your family. We are entering in and did last week or a few weeks ago with Brother Tom Krieger into character studies of the Bible, individuals in the Bible that we can study their lives, study what the Scripture says concerning them, and then apply those attributes to our own lives. Talked about Samuel and the stability of the kingdom, but this morning I want to talk about two of probably the most well-known prophets in the Bible, Elijah and Elisha. And I want to kind of bring out the differences yet similarities between these two great prophets. In case you've ever gotten mixed up as how to tell who came first, well, there's an easy way to do that. J comes before S, so you always think Elijah comes before Elisha. So if you think of the alphabet and you think J comes before S, you'll always remember who came first, that Elijah came before Elisha. But I want to draw your attention to 2 Kings chapter number 1. Chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered and said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said to him, Tarry, I pray ye here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. He said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood to view afar off. They too stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. Came to pass, and when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. I know it's kind of a long passage where we read, but it is the story, if you will, of Elijah and Elisha, their final moments together, the final days, as Elisha, the protege of Elijah, is desirous of a double portion of his spirit. We know by reading the Word of God that Elijah did 7 notable miracles, if you will, and Elisha 14. And so we do know that according to the Word of God, it was as Elisha had requested from Elijah that he would receive a double portion of his spirit. And though Elisha did receive a double portion of his spirit, we need to understand that they were two different individuals who operated differently. And though a double portion of the same spirit which rested upon Elijah was upon Elisha, the way that the Spirit used them and the way that they were able to operate in their times is somewhat different. And so that's what we're going to explore this morning. The focus thought this morning is that God uses different abilities and personalities to turn our hearts to Him and to establish us in Christ. There are different people. We are made up. Our world is made up of a multiplicity of people and a myriad of personalities and character traits. And we would be remiss to think that everybody who comes to Christ all of a sudden changes their personality or all of a sudden changes the way they do things. We can understand by the story of Elijah and Elisha that they were different. They did things different. But nevertheless, they were both used by God. And though Elisha had a double portion, if you will, of Elijah's spirit, he did not have a double portion, if you will, of the way in which Elijah went about. We'll seek to show that. First of all, let's deal with Elijah. Let's deal with what type of person was Elijah according to the Scripture. We know that Elijah, known and heralded throughout the Scriptures, is one of the great prophets of Israel. When we look at when he enters the scene, he arrives on the scene during the reign of Ahab. Ahab was a very wicked king of the northern kingdom of Israel. He married Jezebel, whose name is synonymous, if you will, with sin. Jezebel is known for her wickedness, and Ahab the same. They were fierce idolaters. They worshipped idols. They were warned time and time again. And Elijah was the fiery prophet who took it upon himself under the anointing of God to tell them the error of their ways. To many times express to Ahab and to Jezebel that they were wrong in what they were doing. And as a result, Ahab and Jezebel hated Elijah. They did not want him around. They sought his life. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to take him off the scene because he was a continual reminder of their evil ways. He showed them time and time again that the idols they worshipped and the gods they sought help from were really no gods at all. The Bible has this to say concerning Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 16. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ithbel, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Ahab was an evil king. Ahab was a king who had no respect nor fear of God. He built an altar to Baal, an idol, in the city of Samaria, in the capital city of the northern kingdom. He took it upon himself to make sure that the worship of Baal was the religion of his nation, a nation established by God. A nation that was founded upon principles. A nation that was founded upon laws. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ahab, the Bible says, did more evil than all the kings that were before him. He was that kind of evil man. But Elijah confronted Ahab and boldly declared things unto him. We find that in 1 Kings 17 that Elijah tells Ahab that there is a drought coming. For a period of time, there shall not be rain nor even dew upon the earth. And we know that an ensuing drought and famine happens. Which was, if you study idolatry, if you will, and you understand that Baal was a god of rain and provision and lightning. And so they, if you will, Elijah was making a direct opposition to the god of Ahab. He says, it's not going to rain. The true God, Jehovah, will shut up the heavens. It will not rain. There will not be dew upon the earth. At the end of the famine, towards the end of the famine, we know it's that famous encounter of Elijah with the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings 18, Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to a contest. We know it happens, takes place on Mount Carmel, and they establish altars, and the prophets of Baal put bulls upon the altar, and they dance, and they beat themselves with knives, and they attempt to have their God answer by fire, for that was the challenge. Let the God who answers by fire be God. Baal be God, serve him. But if God is God, if Jehovah is God, then serve him. Elijah issues the very bold and blatant challenge to Ahab and the prophets of Baal. They attempt all the day long to, even if you understand, the knives that they would have used in that day and age were flint knives. And so they would have beat themselves with knives, and they would have tried to manufacture fire. Dry wood laid upon an altar. Jumping upon the altar, beating themselves with flint knives. One of the great miracles that takes place is that not only does God answer by fire, but God does not allow them to manufacture fake fire. Stops. Elijah sits back and mocks them. Maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe you need to worship more and louder to wake him up. He's asleep. Jump and they beat themselves and still no fire. And then comes Elijah's turn. We need to understand that he does something quite peculiar. In the midst of a drought, he says, go get barrels of water. Dig a trench around the altar. He sets 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel, and he puts upon the wood and the bullock, and then he says, hey, go get water. And they bring water, and they pour it on. He says, do it again, and they pour it again. He says, do it a third time, and they pour it a third time, and now water has completely drenched the sacrifice. It's run down the sides. It's filled the trench around about the altar, and then Elijah begins to pray. Came to pass, 1 Kings 18:36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near. And said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Very simple prayer. All of a sudden, fire falls from heaven. Consumes the sacrifice. The Bible says, licks up the dust. There, and to their amazement, God does answer by fire. We know the end result that Elijah orders that the prophets of Baal be executed. They're taken down to the river and they are slain. The heart of the people is turned again to God for a period of time. Then, the Lord comes to Elijah and tells him, and here's the interesting thing about Elijah. We don't know anything about his family. We don't know anything about his history, if you will. We know very little about him other than he was pretty much alone. Did things on his own. And then 1 Kings chapter 19. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. It shall come to pass, him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And here the great prophet Elijah is given command to go and anoint Elisha to be his disciple, to be his protege, that Elijah is to mentor Elisha. Elijah, the fiery preacher, the lone prophet, if you will, is now commanded to go and find someone to anoint to be a prophet in his stead. And so he finds young Elisha, who is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. So it's interesting where we don't know much about Elijah's home life. The very beginning of Elisha's story begins with the understanding that he has a home.
And he is there plowing with 12 yoke of oxen which belonged to his father. So evidently 12 yoke of oxen would indicate that they were a wealthy family, that they were prosperous in farming, that Elisha had, if you will, a pretty good life ahead of him. Elisha could have been prosperous in continuing with the farming business. But Elijah, the great prophet, lays his mantle upon his shoulder and essentially says, come and follow me. Elisha requests that he could go and say goodbye to his parents, and then he prepares a great feast for the people. The Bible says he takes the yoke and he takes the oxen and he prepares a sacrifice and he boils the oxen and then he provides a feast for those around about him. Evidently, Elisha was a very compassionate man. Elisha wasn't, as best we can tell in the scriptures, a very assertive and aggressive individual like Elijah was. Elijah was bold and brazen, and Elisha was more timid. The understanding is that though Elisha had a double portion of Elijah's spirit, it wasn't like he all of a sudden became bold. It wasn't like he all of a sudden became this overly assertive individual and brash individual. It was as if this double portion of the spirit didn't really change him in the sense of his personality or the way he went about doing things. Look, Elisha was more of a prophet of peace. Look at the miracles that he did. Shunammite woman, very similar to Elijah. Naaman's healing in the water. And yes, there were moments and times where he might have been considered a very crass in the sense of just, this is what you must do. It's almost as if he was much more delicate in his approach, the way he went about doing things. And where Elijah was a loner, Elisha, the Bible says, teaches in the school of the prophets. Elijah was a do-it-by-himself kind of guy. Elisha was more of a, let's delegate and spread the wealth. Let's make sure any and all have a part. He taught in the schools. He was an educator. This is not to say that Elijah was wrong for being a loner or doing the way things he did, the way that he did them. He did them according to the word of God, at the behest of God, and according to the word of the Lord. Elisha's different. So we have, if you will, two sides of the same coin. Both men mightily used by God. Both men considered to be the great prophets of Israel, but both of them also different in the way they went about life, the way they did things, and the way that they approached teaching and leading others. Their ministries were different. Their styles of leadership were different. Elijah was more confrontational, and Elisha took a kinder, gentler approach. But God used them both. Both types of personality. There are some that are overly assertive. There are some that are aggressive, if you will. There are some that are much more bold in their approach. And there's some that are timid. And there's some that are laid back. Please understand this. Whatever your personality type and trait, as long as it is in accordance with the Word of God, can be used by God. Some people will not. And are very easily put off by a very assertive and aggressive approach, where others need that. In the same token, there are some that you, if you come at them very timidly and not assertive, they're not really accepting of that. They want someone who's confident and in charge, and so it needs that assertiveness. They need someone to get up in their grill, if you will, and sometimes there is that delicate balance of knowing, how do I manifest in this relationship? How do I approach this individual? The understanding is this, whether it be in the sense of Elijah, very bold and blatant, whether it be in the sense of Elisha, where more timid and laid back, God uses both. Both men, though different in their approaches and their ministries and styles of leadership, God used them both. They're both considered to be great prophets in Israel. Both considered to be mightily used by God. Then I begin to think about this. Begin to think about this in relation to our generation. Certainly, I knew there were times in my life where there was those individuals who really were the old school guys. They weren't afraid to dangle your feet over the fire. They weren't afraid to get up and boldly proclaim and make it blatantly obvious that they stood for this and that you should stand for this as well. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form demeaning that. And sometimes in my life, I needed an Elijah. I needed someone to be bold. I needed someone to get up in my grill, and I needed someone to manifest that type of spirit in relation to me, what I was dealing with, or decision that I was making. There have been other times in my life where the Elisha approach served better. Someone would have came at me aggressively, blatantly, I would have instantly pushed them aside because I just wasn't ready to receive that. Because someone came in with sensitivity, someone was timid in their approach, and they weren't brash and bold, but they were loving and caring and kind. And I'm not saying that there is one preferred over the other. What I'm saying is that both operate and both are used by God. Elijah and Elisha. Bold, brazen, and timid, and caring, and all those things and all those attributes that we see in the two individuals of Elisha and Elijah, we need to understand are needed by our world. Sometimes they need the bold approach. Every generation needs some Elijahs. Every generation needs some men who are bold and brazen in their approach. But every generation also needs Elishas. And maybe, in our day and age, maybe in our time, it is an Elisha-type approach that is more beneficial. People are easily turned aside by the aggressive and the assertive. I'm not saying one is preferred over the other. I'm not trying to herald Elisha as being a greater prophet than Elijah. What I'm simply trying to say is that God uses both. Draw your attention to Jude chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And here I think Jude points out, if you will, the two prophets. And of some having compassion, making difference. That's more of the Elisha approach. Compassionate. And then verse 23, I believe, shows the Elijah approach. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Again, I'm not saying one approach is preferred above the other. What I'm saying is that both are necessary. Both are needed in our day and age. We need to be bold and we need to be brazen, but we also need compassion. Making a difference. Certainly, although Elijah and Elisha had different styles and mannerisms, they both stood for God. They both did not compromise or capitulate to the ways of the people. They both understood that their allegiance was to God and to God alone. And though they had different mannerisms and different personalities and different approaches, they both were able to stand. I don't have to be an overly assertive individual to make a stand for God. And nor do I need to think everybody who is maybe a little more timid or a little more laid back, well, they need to be more of Elijah. No, we need to understand that either type can make a stand. Either type can either boldly stand or timidly stand, but either can still stand. I don't always have to be the aggressive one. And that's not to say that that's bad. Nor do I always have to be timid and laid back. It's the understanding that they're two sides of the same coin. Both were great prophets. Both had different mannerisms and ministries. One alone or another an educator. One bold and brazen, the other more compassionate, laid back. But yet God used them both. So we need to understand, me not being an overly assertive person does not eliminate the responsibility to make a stand. To make a stand for righteousness. To assert myself and my stance in the sense that I love good and I hate evil. As we've talked about a little bit in our Wednesday night studies and making a stand for truth, I need to be careful because sometimes that Elijah approach that I beat him over the head and I bludgeon him with scripture and I know and that's okay that you know, but just be careful. I've said it many times, I'll continue to say it. Being used in the gifts of the Spirit does not ever negate the responsibility of doing it in the fruit of the Spirit. So I need to understand that there are different approaches for different people and there are different situations at different times, but God can use them all for His glory and for His benefit. God will use the Elijahs and God will use the Elishas. God will use the fiery and God will use some having compassion, making a difference. God will use some of them dangling their feet over the coals, if you will, or the fire, the pit of hell, and God will also use those. Take a more timid approach. He uses both. They're two sides of the same coin. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Regardless of our different talents, our numerous abilities, regardless of the different personality traits or types, the understanding is God can use anyone. God can use anyone who is willing to make a stand. God can use the bold and the brazen, and God can also use the timid and the compassionate. Both are essential, both are necessary. When I look at these two great men, great prophets of old, my prayer is, Lord, help me to understand that they are, if you will, two sides of the same coin. Both had a desire to stand for God. Both operated in an environment that was often in opposition to the way they were leading. So we can see ourselves somewhat in the story. In a world much like the nation of Israel in that time, serving so many other gods, continually participating in unrighteousness, it takes Elijahs and Elishas. Different, but yet the same. Opposite ends of the spectrum, if you will, maybe in personality types, but yet the same in their desire to see righteousness reign once again. Lord, help that to be our prayer. I realize that I speak to a congregation, Lord, and in this congregation there are those who are bold and assertive, and there are those who are more timid and laid back. Lord, let them know both types God uses. Both ways, both abilities God uses. So if I'm assertive and I'm bold and I'm easily engaging others in conversation and I won't let me look at someone else who's more timid and laid back and think, well, God is using me more than He's using them. If I'm timid and laid back and I see someone who is assertive and bold and think, wow, they're too aggressive, they need to be more laid back like me, realize that God uses all types. Let us work together to see righteousness reign, see the Word of God flourish, be manifested in hearts and lives. matter my personality type or my trait. Bold, brazen, assertive, laid back, or timid. God can use me. God can use me and I can do great things for Him. It's two sides of the same coin. All for the glory of God. His altars are open.
Take my hands, Lord.
Whether you bow here at the front or whether you bow there in your seat, let me take this time to pray. Classes will be returning momentarily.
If you can
use, let them come in, seeing us pray. If you need to converse, you need to take a break, we ask that you would leave the sanctuary. Let this house be a house of prayer.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
He uses Elijah's and He uses Elisha's.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, thank you. to you.